We're back on the Bengals Beat Podcast Extra Edition this week, talking with PFF. Every week we do it. You're going to want to go check them out. And we're talking with Austin Gale right now. How you doing, man?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Plenty to break down after the Bengals were up 21-0 in Indy, and they ended up falling in a pretty big upset when Joe Burrow threw a last-second interception. But there's more to that game, and we're going to get to the wide receiver room first. A.J. Green, we've talked about him every week since week one. What is happening with A.J. Green? Is he going to get back? And he actually showed a little bit of signs like old AJ again.
Yeah, he looked good. I mean, he was the highest graded Bengals player in this game, earned an 86.9 PFF grade, caught 8 of 11 targets for 96 yards. I mean, I really do think AJ Green can still be a competent receiver in the NFL. I think T. Higgins looks good as well. Like, this is the first time where I felt like the Bengals receiving core led by AJ Green and T. Higgins looked very, very good. And even Tyler Boyd got 5 of 8 receptions for 54 yards. Like, this was a strong performance for the Cincinnati Bengals in the first two and a half quarters. After that, though, the offense really struggled going against a very good Indianapolis Colts defense, a defense that went into this game as one of the top defenses in EPA per play allowed. And I think they just kind of fell flat, got out of the opening game script, weren't able to kind of create plays after that. And I think that collapse is what you see in young teams led by young coaches and young quarterbacks. Finishing games is a lot harder in the NFL. It's something that you see rebuilding teams or young teams trying to turn the corner really struggle with in that kind of gap year where they feel like they have the pieces in place, but don't necessarily have the exclamation point, so to speak. Still some question marks along the offensive line. Defensively, there are some concerns. But this is a team that looks like it's experience and a few more pieces away from finishing those games and actually, you know, going into week seven, week eight with a winning record.
Well, we finally saw that big play downfield, and it was Joe Burrow to T. Higgins, and something we'll probably see more of throughout their career. Have you been impressed with T. Higgins' role?
Absolutely. I mean, I think he's exceeded expectations for me with the Cincinnati Bengals. And on that shot play, the Indianapolis Colts don't blitz a ton. But on that, you know, that was that big play to T. Higgins, a 67-yarder, was when the Indianapolis Colts blitzed. Joe Burrow saw it, took advantage of it, the one-on-one situation with T. Higgins, and put it on him pretty nicely. It was a really good throw from Joe Burrow, that deep ball that we've been kind of looking for all year. You still need to see more of it. It can't be a once-in-a-blue-moon concept. You have to see more of the deep ball to T. Higgins, AJ Green, and company. But you have to see one before you see multiple. And I think that was a really encouraging sign from T. Higgins and Joe Burrow.
We've talked about John Ross for about 2 years now. He had a great start in 2019, and then he was injured. And really now he hasn't been impacted at all in the offense. He played a little bit in the first few games, but he had a few drop passes. There are reports that he wants traded. Where could John Ross go? And are you surprised with the little impact he's really had on this offense?
I mean, you have to be surprised. A former first-round pick with all this speed, all these tools, and just really hasn't panned out in Cincinnati due to injuries. And I'm sure a lot of things behind the scenes that we're not even aware of. I think a change of scenery could do good for him. I doubt the Cincinnati Bengals get a ton for him. I wouldn't imagine it'd be anything more than a late day three pick, sixth rounder, seventh rounder for John Ross. But I think a change of scenery is exactly what he needs, because honestly, I don't think he's here mentally in Cincinnati. He's the third, no, not even the third, fourth, fifth receiver on the chart if Joe Burrow is targeting him in the line. I think he needs to get out of Cincinnati, maybe go to a team that is looking for receiving talent right now, like the Philadelphia Eagles, perhaps. I know the Minnesota Vikings need a third receiver. One of those teams that's looking for a deep threat, looking for a guy that maybe they can take advantage of in a change of scenery.
I think on Sunday, Joe Burrow had a fantastic game. And of course, he would love that last second interception back when the Bengals were driving to hopefully take the lead. How has he fared over the last six games for you?
I mean, it's been really good, really encouraging for Joe Burrow. I think the biggest concerns, and I've said this a handful of times now, the deep ball hasn't been there for him. Yes, we saw it a little bit in this game. And honestly, the arm talent has, you know, really made things difficult for him. He can't make all of the throws that he made at LSU. The defense is faster. They're breaking on balls quicker. And I think he's realizing that as well. The arm talent is kind of holding him back. And also, the third thing I'll bring up is that he can't create outside of structure like he can at LSU. He's not that special athlete with the escapability that, you know, other better athletes in the NFL have. I think he's just not that quarterback. So I think there's a little bit of a learning curve for Joe Burrow that he didn't have the opportunity to get with the abbreviated offseason with no preseason games. I think he's learning so much in the first 6-7 weeks of the season that other rookie quarterbacks kind of pick up on in the preseason or even in camp. So it's still a learning process for Joe Burrow, but the accuracy is still there. The gamer in him is still there. The anticipatory throwing is there. And you have to be, when you don't have Josh Allen, Kyler Murray level arm talent, Mahomes level arm talent, you have to be an anticipatory thrower. You have to throw guys open before they're open. You have to understand route concepts and know where the defense leverage is. And you see that from Joe Burrow, surprisingly, because the NFL is still moving really fast for him. I think he's going to continue to look good this season and continue to kind of move forward, learn every single week. But I don't think you're going to see peak Joe Burrow this year. I don't think you'll see his best work, which doesn't surprise a lot of people, but I think year two, year three is when you start to see him put everything together and actually put together these kind of complete games that lead to some Cincinnati wins.
The O-line looked semi-okay versus the Colts, and when you rank him, you look at Jonah Williams, and I think fans should feel pleased with the development they're seeing at left tackle. They could finally have Andrew Whitworth's replacement. That's to be determined. Of course, they have consistency with Trey Hopkins at center. I think, honestly, we talk about Bobby Hart all the time at right tackle, and the chances of this team filling that role in the guard positions is pretty slim for three positions on the offensive line. But I think really the biggest challenge for this team is guard play, because Jonah Williams is covering up some of Michael Jordan's mistakes. And then you got Bobby Hart over there on right tackle, and he can't cover his spot and Alex Redmond. What does this team do when it comes to the offensive line right now?
Yeah, Jonah Williams, I think, is a obvious bright spot for the Cincinnati Bengals team. I think you could feel really comfortable him going into year three, hopefully playoff contention, as your starting left tackle. But I agree with you. The guard play has been close to horrendous. Michael Jordan is struggling to develop, despite having the tools. You know, Michael Jordan has the tools. He's a freakish athlete coming out of Ohio State, highly recruited for a reason. The problem is he's still very much learning the position, needs to develop his technique, and that just takes time. You rarely see guards of his caliber, of his age, develop quickly in the NFL. I think he needs more time at the position. Where they can feel comfortable moving on is probably Alex Redmond, probably Billy Price. Getting out of those guys and finding a veteran guard that can play in that place in 2021 will be important. As for Bobby Hart, actually turned in a strong game this week, you know, 78.0 PFF pass blocking grade. But I will say they're also protecting their offensive tackles, getting the ball out quick, trying to get the ball out so, you know, that average time to throw is low. However, the offensive line, I don't think, is the biggest concern for the Cincinnati Bengals. I think scheme was more of a concern against the Baltimore Ravens, even against the Indianapolis Colts. They just are struggling to pick up blitzes, don't have that chemistry, don't really, those empty sets are hurting them a bit. I think there are bigger concerns than the actual talent level along the offensive line, but rather the offensive scheme, where you're kind of leaving your, you know, leaving the game scratching your head.
We'll flip sides to the defensive side. They can't get to the quarterback. And I think in the offseason, everybody thought they signed DJ Reader and Geno Atkins. That's going to be a line to mess with. And it was going to be one of their strongest groups. Unfortunately, they saw half of a game with Geno Atkins and DJ Reader. DJ Reader out for the season. A little bit of drama in Cincinnati. Geno Atkins, Carlos Dunlap getting less snaps. I know Geno was fighting an injury. Are you surprised with what's going on with this defensive line right now?
I am a bit surprised. I know I saw some of that, you know, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap removing Cincinnati Bengals from their bios, maybe looking to get traded. But I think this defensive line flat out lacks talent. You know, Carl Lawson was probably the best defensive lineman this past week, earned six total pressures in this game. But after him, it's really slim picking. Sam Hubbard didn't play in this game. You saw Khalil McKenzie, who's a former defensive tackle at Tennessee, moved to guard when he first got drafted in the NFL, I think by the Kansas City Chiefs, and now he's back at defensive tackle for the Cincinnati Bengals. So, I mean, it's slim pickings for them. Christian Covington is not a good pass rusher. Even DJ Reader is not a good pass rusher. Like, that, you know, the goal for him was to eat up against the run, eat more blocks, and maybe free some one-on-ones up for Geno Atkins. Like, they just don't have good, pure pass rushers on this team. Carlos Dunlap last a step 2-3 years ago. Yes, he's a solid veteran piece. I know he means a ton to Cincinnati, has done a ton for the community, but this is a team that's, you know, Geno Atkins and Carlos Dunlap are old. They do not have premier athletes along the edge, maybe outside of Carl Lawson, and even he has his tools disadvantages with short arms, etc. I really do think they need an injection of talent along this defensive line for them to start to kind of perk people's interest.
And if you want to find a bright spot right now, a guy who I get criticized a little bit because I call him the best safety in the NFL. And if you look at PFF, the numbers prove he's playing like one of the best safeties in the NFL in 2020. Jesse Bates continues to shine out there.
Yeah, I mean, Jesse Bates is awesome. And I think the reason, you know, safety, it's tough because there's box safeties and there's free safeties. There's also kind of do-it-all types like Tyrann Mathieu, who doesn't even really play safety, plays box safety, slot corner, free safety, does everything. And Jamal Adams is a similar boat. But like, looking at the NFL and trying to find a pure free safety that's playing better than Jesse Bates right now would be very difficult, because that guy is playing on the back end, playing the deep half, or playing even the deep middle and covering one concepts and just thriving. Like, the guy's range is incredible. The instincts are there. Like, this guy is getting it done. And what I think is one of the hardest positions to play in the NFL, it is that deep safety role where it's kind of, you're the last leg of defense. You have to make the big game changing plays while other people are isolated in one-on-one matchups. He has done such a good job of that. Had another interception in this game that I thought was truly impressive. I'm in love with this guy. He's playing really well on a rookie deal. I would say easily one of the bigger bright spots of this defense. I also think William Jackson III is turning in strong play in the secondary. I think those two guys, in my opinion, are playing top football right now.
If you're the Cincinnati Bengals, are you extending William Jackson III?
I think so, because I don't think his price will be that big. I don't think on the market he's going to ask for a monster deal. I think you're going to be able to sign him for a market rate deal that doesn't necessarily, you know, hinder you a ton. And I think it's either that or kind of really reinvent the position, because you have Trey Waynes coming off injury. Mackenzie Alexander has never been a true outside cornerback. And if you go to the well and trying to add outside corners, look at what's happened with teams starting rookie outside corners right now. Trayvon Diggs, Noah Igbinoghene, Jeff Gladney, Cameron Dantzler. Jalen Johnson has played well, but even he has a struggle. CJ Henderson's another guy. Jeffrey Okuda. Every rookie cornerback right now is struggling. Corner is one of the harder positions to play well at right out of the gate. Denzel Ward, the Cleveland Browns corner, was one of the best rookie corners I've ever seen. Him and Marshawn Lattimore, two guys that entered the NFL and were outstanding. But even they have been a bit volatile of late and struggled a bit. Like, cornerback is one of those positions where having veteran pieces, having guys like with the Houston Texans or Bradley Roby, et cetera, is more important. I would not be interested in abandoning the William Jackson product, because if the price is right, I think he's worth it.
After six games, I feel like the AFC North is correctly ranked. I'd put the Steelers number one, Ravens number two, and the Browns 4-2 at number three. The Cincinnati Bengals take on the Browns. Week 7 already here. Crazy to believe. But Baker Mayfield, he has had such an up and down career. What's going on with him, and what can we expect to see on Sunday?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's been more down than up lately. Baker Mayfield has really struggled right this year. Like, he's seeing ghosts in the pocket, bailing out of clean pockets, struggling under pressure. Really, overall, just like any of the stuff that Kevin Stefanski does, the offensive coordinator, head coach there in Cleveland, to get him out of the pocket on design boots and design play action passes, he's performed well, as you'd expect. Those open throws he's hitting. The problem has been when you're asking him to read 1, 2, 3 receivers on clean, straight dropbacks, he's really, really struggled. And that's behind one of the best offensive lines in football, with one of the best receiving corps in the NFL, and with one of the best two-headed monsters before the Nick Chubb injury in the backfield. Like, this guy has the supporting cast. The problem is him. He needs to play better. He needs to be more accurate with the football, make better decisions when throwing the football, and make better decisions to not hold on to the football. I'd be really concerned if I was in the Cleveland Browns front office right now looking at Baker Mayfield, because the guy looks completely different. He was the highest graded quarterback in college football for like 3 years straight at Oklahoma. Obviously we were a big fan of him coming out, but he looks like a completely different quarterback right now, really has regressed in multiple areas.
Despite the way Baker's playing, I still think the Browns are going to beat the Bengals at Paul Brown Stadium on Sunday. But if the Bengals were to get that win, what are the keys? How are they beating Cleveland on Sunday?
It's got to score, man. I really do think you can't get in your head about how do we stop Baker Mayfield, how do we stop Odell Beckham Jr. They're going to score their points. You have to score on offense. And that's something the Cincinnati Bengals have struggled to do with consistency. You saw the scoring barrage against Indianapolis and then completely fall flat. You have to put consistent down-to-down, drive-to-drive success and put points on the scoreboard. And how you do that against what is, I think, an underrated Browns defense. Miles Garrett's a stud. Obviously, you have Denzel Ward on the back end. Some talent in Cleveland. How you do that is protect Joe Burrow, get the ball out of his hands, and let him cook. Because I do think running the football with Joe Mixon on early downs is not the priority, in my opinion. I know you have a young quarterback. I know you want to protect him with the running game, but throw on early downs, take advantage of that two-dimensional offense you can have on first and second down, and try and get the ball downfield, try and chase those chunk plays.
Austin Gale, great stuff as always. What's up on PFF right now?
Yeah, PFF's going through it right now. Redraft, fantasy football, DFS, betting, player props, all that stuff that kind of keeps people engaged as the season goes on. We're entering week 7, but we also have our half season all pro team coming up. We're doing quarterback rankings this week, according to Sam Monson. A lot of really good stuff on PFF.com. Definitely encourage you to check it out.
Make sure you check it out. And where can fans follow you on Twitter?
Follow me at PFF_AustinGale, AustinGayle.
Thank you as always. And make sure you guys are checking out PFF. Great stuff. Thanks, Austin.
Of course. Thank you.